Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Supreme Court hears arguments today in what could be a landmark case involving alleged reverse discrimination against whites in employment. Fred Graham has the story.
The case has sometimes been called the blue-collar Bakke case because it's similar in some ways to the Bakke decision of last year in which the High Court declared illegal an affirmative action plan to help blacks get into medical school. This case concerns jobs, and the issue is whether the legal rights of white workers are violated when a company voluntarily sets up an affirmative action program that sets aside a certain number of jobs for blacks. The central figure in the case is Brian Weber, a white lab technician at a Kaiser Aluminum Company plant in Louisiana who failed to get into a training program for a skilled job in which half of the positions had been set aside for blacks. Some of the blacks who got the jobs had less seniority with the company than Weber, and the lower courts have held that he was illegally denied the job because he is white. The High Court's decision, due in June, could affect similar affirmative action programs throughout American industry. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Yesterday's decision by OPEC to raise the basic price of crude oil by 9%, with members allowed to add whatever surcharges they think the market will bear, is already considered certain to raise gasoline prices at the pump by 2 to 3 cents a gallon, with comparable increases in the costs of heating oil. And next in line, as we hear from Joe and Shore in Geneva, may be airline fares.
Representatives of about 70 international airlines are meeting here today and tomorrow to analyze the impact of rising fuel costs on airfares. A spokesman for the meeting says the airlines intend to keep the cut rate fares by applying limited increases across the whole range of passenger and cargo traffic. Fuel accounts for 22% of an airline's operating cost, and the increase just announced by OPEC nations catches the airlines off guard. They say their original estimates for the year will now have to be revised upward. At the end of last year, for example, the average price paid for aviation fuel was 48 cents a gallon. The new OPEC pricing will boost that to 65 cents a gallon by mid-year, with a strong likelihood that the price will go even higher by the end of 1979. Joan Shore for CBS News, Geneva.
A general emergency was declared this morning at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant located on the Susquehanna River near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington says there was some kind of accident at the plant, but he declines to give details. Plant officials say a cooling mechanism broke down. No one has been evacuated from the area. President Sadat, nearing the end of his visit to Washington, is now talking about what Egypt needs in the way of economic help from other countries. And as we hear from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb, he is setting his sights high.
President Sadat has discussed a new economic aid program with President Carter and other top American officials, a five-year program during which he hopes to attract at least $15 billion in new capital. This from governments such as the United States, West Germany, and Japan, as well as from private companies and banks. The U.S. itself is expected to contribute $300 million over the next 3 years, no more, for several reasons. First, because in the U.S. view, Egypt simply cannot absorb much more capital. Second, there is already a sizable flow of American aid to Egypt, about $1 billion worth a year. And finally, the general budget tightening mood of the Congress. The U.S. and Egypt both want programs that will have quick and visible impact within 12 to 18 months to show the Egyptian people and other Arabs that the peace treaty with Israel has its immediate economic rewards. U.S. officials deny this is a PR job designed to boost Sadat's position at home. If it doesn't make long-range economic sense, one of them said, it makes no sense at all. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Last night, Sadat addressed the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington and appealed for large-scale, long-term American investments in Egypt, a country, he said, whose natural resources would make them bear good fruit.
All these resources, land, water, gas, oil, climate, can't we work together and try to solve this riddle? On the basis of partnership. I don't want loans. Come and be my partners.
Sadat also said he is going ahead with his program to liberalize Egypt politically with a declaration of human rights and constitutional reform. Israeli Prime Minister Begin makes two speeches in New York today and then leaves for Jerusalem. the Sultanate of Oman has become the first Arab state to endorse the Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty. Oman is boycotting the Arab League conference in Baghdad, where retaliatory measures against Israel and Egypt are still being discussed. But according to conference sources quoted by the Associated Press, the League will take no action against the United States. Time appears to be running out today for the British Labour government of Prime Minister James Callaghan. Larry Miller reports from London.
Unless two or three House of Commons members shift allegiance at the last moment, the government is likely to lose a no-confidence vote tonight and fall. During a time set aside in the Commons for lawmakers' questions to the Prime Minister, Callaghan was asked about the government's plans if it should lose that no-confidence vote.
I have really not engaged my mind on such entirely hypothetical questions as this. I have no doubt that if in the event the honourable gentleman's nightmares and hobgoblins to come true, that this government would be returned at any election that was held at any time.
The no-confidence vote came about because the Labour government lost the backing of the Scottish Nationalists, and that defection from its ranks spurred on the opposition Conservative Party to go for the government's jugular by calling for tonight's vote. Larry Miller for CBS News, London.
Trouble seems to be piling up for the government of Iran. We'll get the latest from Jerry Bowen.
In the wake of Kurdish demands for autonomy, Iran's provisional revolutionary government is now faced with another list from the Arab majority in the southwestern oil-rich province of Khuzestan. The Arabs, who have a 3-to-1 majority over other ethnic groups, are demanding autonomy, a percentage of the oil profits for the Arab population, and a return to the original name of the province, Arabistan, land of the Arabs. The existing name came into being in 1925 when the Shah's family seized power. Thus far, there is no indication that the Arabs, like the Kurds, may engage in armed confrontation to press their demands. But the Iran Arab Organization, an underground group during the days of the Shah, has an arms cache on hand, like many of the diverse organizations which participated in the revolution. Arab leaders say that for now, however, they will work with the regime of Ayatollah Khomeini, with the hope their demands will be met peacefully. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Tehran.
A ceasefire is now reported in northeastern Iran between government troops and rebellious Turkmen tribesmen. 2 days of fighting in that area are said to have taken at least 30 lives, with 70 people wounded. A new technique is being used to treat some types of cancer. Details from CBS News science correspondent Charles Crawford, who is covering the American Cancer Society meeting in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Complete control of small, localized cancer tumors without X-radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery. The technique is called photoradiation therapy. The patient receives an injection of hematoporphyrin, a photoactive agent that goes to the site of the malignancy. When exposed to the red spectrum of normal visible light, the photoactive agent begins destroying cancer cells. Roswell Park Memorial Institute research scientist Dr. Thomas Doherty describes the initial results.
Probably half the patients that have been treated to date have been women with recurrent breast carcinoma, in which it has recurred on the chest wall. After they have had radiotherapy, chemotherapy, mastectomy, immunotherapy, and so on. And the options for these patients have basically run out. Now, we have found that if the patient is treated soon enough, and provided it's not too deep, that we could expect to get control of the tumor.
Dr. Doherty says, to date, photoradiation therapy has been effective only for small tumors on or near the skin surface, and new techniques must be developed and tested before it can be used against large and deep-seated tumor masses. Charles Crawford, CBS News, Daytona Beach, Florida.
CBS News President Richard Sallant, who's due to retire April 30th under the CBS policy of mandatory retirement at age 65, will become vice chairman of the National Broadcasting Company on May 1st. There's no comparable retirement policy at NBC. A bomb threat this morning forced evacuation of part of the American embassy in Moscow. The CBS News Moscow Bureau reports an unidentified man entered the embassy clutching a parcel he said contained a bomb and demanded an exit visa for the West.
Newsbreak. Gary Shepard reporting on the CBS radio network. The announcement by OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, that it is raising the price of oil by 9% effective on Sunday, has sent shockwaves around the world. And this morning, industry experts and government officials alike are still trying to figure out the full implications of the OPEC decision. A look at some of the latest developments in a moment.
¶¶ ever stop to think that half the country's yard owners are trying to keep things from growing out of hand, while the other half are trying to make them grow bigger and faster? I'm Joe Garagiola for Alice Chalmers Corporation. And Alice Chalmers helps yard and garden owners achieve the best of both worlds with a full line of lawn and garden tractors and attachments. Attachments designed to mow without scalping, to prepare and cultivate seed beds, to haul garden supplies or pick up leaves, and more for all season labor savings. Alice Chalmers, helping to meet basic needs for yard owners as well as industries.
The world needs more of what Alice Chalmers makes.
A House Commerce Subcommittee is holding hearings in Washington today on President Carter's proposal for standby gasoline rationing. And in Geneva, Switzerland, representatives of most of the world's major airlines are meeting to discuss the impact of OPEC's latest price increase. The most likely result will be higher airline fares to compensate for the higher cost of jet fuel. Gasoline rationing, we are told, would be imposed only as a last resort if the supply of oil continues to go down and gasoline consumption continues to go up. Herbert Hugo, editor of Platts Oilgram, an oil industry publication, says gasoline prices are likely to rise by 10 cents a gallon by the end of the year.
What really gets to me is that the American people still don't believe that there's an energy crisis, and I can't understand that, because it's true that we have got a grievously serious shortage of energy in this country, and until we do something about it in the way of much higher prices and changing our way of living and the way we spread our stuff, there is no way in the world that we're going to get out of this thing.
The latest Gallup poll says nearly half of those who currently drive to work in this country would continue to do so even if gasoline sales were eventually restricted, and only 11% of those questioned said they would switch to public transportation. John Lichtblau, executive director of the Petroleum Industry Research Foundation, sees a parallel between what OPEC is doing now and what it did back in 1973.
What has happened in 1973 was an extraneous factor, a war in the Middle East, a resulting political embargo caused a shortage. The shortage caused the OPEC nations to very sharply increase the price of oil, triple it, and when the shortage was over, because the embargo ended, the price was not allowed to go down, but stayed there. And now you have another extraneous crisis, a revolution in Iran, which cut off all oil supplies, a shortage developed, which had nothing to do with the underlying availability of oil. Once again, the OPEC nations have sharply increased the price, and I have a feeling that when the crisis is over and we have enough oil again, that price level will not come down all the way.
But despite all the negative news, the U.S. dollar held its own against most European currencies today and even edged up against the Japanese yen. And yesterday, the stock market posted its best gain since last November. The reason? A lot of people thought the OPEC price increase was going to be even bigger than it was. Now, this message.
Before spring's bright and fresh colors arrive outside, brighten and freshen the colors inside your home with a new coat of True Test paint from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you you'll find over 1,200 custom colors to choose from in a wide variety of paint finishes like True Test Easy Care Interior Flat Latex. Its scrubbable hard finish resists soiling to keep rooms looking fresh for years, and it's earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. You'll find True Test paints only at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
Newsbreak, Wednesday, March 28th, 1979. I'm Gary Shepard, CBS News.
If you'd like to put some money aside and earn high interest for a short term, Great Western Savings recommends Treasury Bill Plus. It's an insured investment that takes only 26 weeks to mature. Your high interest is guaranteed, and no other bank or savings and loan can offer you a better rate. Saving with Great Western is convenient, too, with more offices than any other savings and loan, over 100 throughout the state. Even the hours are convenient. With a $10,000 minimum, you can open a Treasury Bill Plus account at Great Western Savings any weekday from 9:30 to 5:30, or on Saturdays from 9:30 to 3. Call us for our current high Treasury Bill Plus rate. Substantial interest penalty for early withdrawal.
I've thrown my money around a lot of places that didn't brighten my future. But no more. Today I put it on the line at Great Western Savings.
It's 8:56. A spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says the level of radiation leakage at the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is not known. But NRC officials have arrived on the scene to investigate. KNX News Radio reporter Diane Cummings joins us in News Central with details.
The plant is owned by Metropolitan Edison of Reading, Pennsylvania, and it's located on an island in the Susquehanna River 5 miles from Harrisburg. It was shut down after an accident during which radiation was released into the containment vessel. NRC spokesman John Kopeck in Washington says it's not known yet whether any radiation has leaked into the atmosphere outside the containment vessel. Kopeck tells KNX News Radio he can't comment on whether this accident has been a meltdown where a major failure of the cooling pipe causes radioactive material to seep down through the vessel into the ground.
Whether it's a meltdown or not, situation. The only information I have is to tell you that there was a release of some primary coolant water into the system. How much, I don't know. But at this time, the emergency core cooling systems are being used to keep the reactor cooled.
KNX News Radio correspondent Jim Wiggins just returned from the site of the nuclear power plant accident and files this report.
About 4:30 this morning, there was a malfunction in the water system that both cools the reactor and generates the steam turbines. What happened then was something called a turbine trip, which automatically caused a shutdown. Now, while this was happening, there was water that was heating up to a pressure hotter and more intense than it was supposed to, and there was some radioactive water released inside the reactor building. As the NRC spokesman said, none of that radioactive water got outside of the contained building. There is certainly no visible signs of real alarm down there. The state police are not evacuating anybody. The workers who were supposed to come into the shift were milling around at the observation building outside. There was no effort to remove the population or remove anyone far away from the island itself. Of course, the island was blocked off and they aren't letting anyone on. They are testing at this point. They've got 3 or 4 aircraft in the air, helicopters and small planes, and they've got radiation stations around the area to test what, if any, was the radioactive level that came out of this. And so far they are saying, and this is MetEd saying, that the radiation that has escaped is minimal, if anything at all. But it appears that it is not a real serious situation at this point. They have shut down the reactor, and now, of course, comes the whole process of finding out what went wrong and how bad it was.
KNX News Radio correspondent Jim Wiggins in Pennsylvania. This is Diane Cummings, KNX News Radio.
CBS News. An accident at a nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania has triggered a condition of general emergency. Some radioactive steam escaped into the atmosphere, but no injuries are reported, and officials say the leak was not dangerous. I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. At 4 o'clock this morning, a valve in the high-pressure steam system of the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, blew out. The accident automatically shut down the reactor, but some of the irradiated steam escaped into the atmosphere before the building was sealed. Also, immediately, a general emergency was declared, but residents near the plant, which stands on an island in the Susquehanna River, about 10 miles southeast of the state capital, were not evacuated from their homes. Apparently, no workmen were in the building where the accident occurred, and John Comey of the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency says the released radioactive material is minor.
10 Rankins per hour is a very small amount. You're, in proportion, you would be talking 200 Rankins for over a day's exposure to make someone get nauseous or sick. 10 Rankins is a very minimal amount, and it was released for a very brief period of time. There is certainly nothing that could or can be done about the 10 Rankins that were released.
Carl Abraham of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission office in Philadelphia calls the radiation level involved extremely low and appears to be confined inside the containment structure, the steel-reinforced concrete dome around the reactor. More news after this.
It's the feel of pride and the look of class. It's a world of luxury. You know right away that's Cadillac, that's Cadillac for me.
The
The 1979 Eldorado. You may choose it simply because it's so beautiful. But you should also know that this is the most electronically sophisticated Eldorado ever. With a combination of driving features found on no other U.S. car, including front-wheel drive, four-wheel independent suspension, four-wheel disc brakes, electronic level control, an electronic fuel-injected engine, electronic spark selection, and more. All for your personal driving pleasure. The 1979 Eldorado. Drive one soon.
And so you say, that's Cadillac, that's Cadillac for me.
A young Russian who says he wants to emigrate to the United States walked into the consular section of the United States Embassy in Moscow today and announced that he had a bomb strapped to his body which he would explode unless he were allowed to leave the Soviet Union. More from Bernard Redmond.
The bomb threat caused embassy officials to order the evacuation of one of the three sections of the embassy, the North Wing. This wing houses the consular, press, and cultural sections and some resident apartments for American diplomats. Marines and embassy security officers sealed off the area and barred all visitors. About a dozen Soviet uniformed policemen and KGB security agents stood outside the embassy but did not enter. An informed source at the embassy said that the man clutched to his body an object he said was a bomb and threatened to blow up the building unless he obtained an exit visa. Soviet citizens seeking to emigrate must first get a Soviet exit visa before applying to foreign embassies for an immigration visa. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
The young man has not as yet been identified. America's premier circus clown for many years, Emmett Kelly, is dead at the age of 80. Kelly, best known to fans of the Big Top as Weary Willie, collapsed in the front yard of his home in Sarasota, Florida. He was rushed to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Kelly's death comes on the day when Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus opens its spring run at New York's Madison Square Garden. Stocks and other news after this.
United Van Lines presents Stiller and Mira.
I've checked the x-rays, Mrs. Gurney. You got 12 cavities, 2 dying roots, and your gums are getting spongy.
Oh, Dr. Felder, it's terrible.
Relax, I'm going to give you a little gas now.
Dr. Felder, what am I going to do?
Breathe deeply and open your mouth.
You don't understand. It's my husband.
Men can be brutes, Mrs. Gurney.
My husband's being transferred to Cincinnati. I can't face moving.
No problem. Just call United Van Lines, Betty Malone.
United Van Lines, Betty Malone?
The Betty Malone information service is provided by United Van Lines free. Keep breathing. United's Betty Malone will help you relocate anywhere in the world.
Even Cincinnati?
Sure, with facts about schools, utilities, places of worship.
Oh, boy. I'm calling Betty Malone right away. Hey, wait. I'm going to need a new dentist.
For that, you call Fred Felder.
United Van Lines Fred Felder?
No, my brother Fred Felder. He's the biggest root canal man in Cincinnati. You can stop breathing now.
For the name of your United Van Lines agent, see the Yellow Pages.
The government of the Philippines has announced that Muslim rebels have released, unharmed, American missionary Lloyd Van Vactor, who had been kidnapped in the southern Philippines 3 weeks ago. And the oil minister of Saudi Arabia says so far his nation has no plans to impose a surcharge on the price of the oil it exports beyond the 9% rise imposed by OPEC yesterday. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 0.26, volume on the big board a heavy nearly 20 million shares. The Dow Jones industrial average stands at 871.10. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. There was an accident early this morning at the nuclear plant on Three Mile Island near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Some workers may have been contaminated. Some radioactive steam escaped into the atmosphere. Gary Shepard reports.
The accident occurred at 4 o'clock this morning when two water pumps that help keep reactor number 2 cool broke down. Eventually, some 50 to 60,000 gallons of radioactive water escaped into the reactor building and radioactive steam was released into the atmosphere. Jack Herbine, vice president of Metropolitan Edison Company, which operates the plant, attempted to minimize the seriousness of the accident.
The plant is in a safe condition. The radiation levels at the site boundary are really only a tenth of the general emergency level where we normally get concerned. We do have our crews out. We're monitoring for for airborne contamination. The amount that we found is minimal. Very, very small traces of radioactivity have been released from the plant.
But the company's statements have not answered several important questions. How much radioactivity has already escaped from the plant? And is the level inside above the danger level? Gary Shepard, CBS News, Middletown, Pennsylvania.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has begun an investigation that will take weeks, maybe months, and right now some officials are worried about the seriousness of the accident. Robert Shackney reports.
Nuclear Regulatory Commission officials say emergency systems have the atomic reactor in the Pennsylvania power plant under effective control, and that levels of radiation detected as much as a mile from the reactor are low level, posing no immediate health hazard. But inside the reactor building, officials say the problems are not yet over. They say radiation is still leaking from the reactor itself, the cooling process is slower than it should be, and there are such lethally high radiation levels inside the reactor building that small amounts are penetrating three-foot-thick steel and concrete walls. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor Scranton says some radiation has been measured in the state capital of Harrisburg, 10 miles from the power plant. Officials say the accident began as a pump problem in a water system outside the reactor area. And in ways not yet known, that triggered a series of problems until radioactive water burst from the reactor system. The atomic reactor in question has been subject to a variety of problems in the year that it has been licensed. Problems that last winter forced the reactor to be shut down for 36 days during a two-month period. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
When you have a tough yard to mow, get the mower that will help pull you through. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you get the Jacobson 20-inch Power Burst mower from True Value Hardware Stores. It self-propels, so you won't have to push and pull. Just guide it, even up hills. And the special Power Burst feature gives you an instant surge of power when you need help cutting tall or tough grass. So this spring, get the Jacobson 20-inch self-propelled mower with the special Power Burst feature at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
Sinus flares up.
I'm clogged up. Headaches. My whole face hurts. Help.
Sent for. Sign-off
helps relieve your pain, helps clear congestion, ease sinus pressure and post-nasal drip. Sign-off does it all.
Send for Sign-off.
And for the fastest known form of congestion relief, Sign-off Spray, S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Is here.
For occasional use, only as directed.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today in another case involving charges of reverse discrimination. The white defendant wants affirmative action programs declared illegal if they give blacks preference for jobs over white workers with more seniority. Fred Graham reports.
The central figure in the case is Brian Weber, a white lab technician at a Kaiser Aluminum plant in Louisiana who failed to get a more skilled job after half of the new skilled positions were set aside for blacks.
I wanted to advance myself. I wanted to get myself a better job, a higher paying job, more security. My position is not to start a big move out to deprive blacks of any civil rights or anything like that. It's just to get equality for the white people.
In the Supreme Court today, Weber's lawyer called the affirmative action program a racial preference that wouldn't last a minute under the Civil Rights Act if black workers rather than whites were the losers. Kaiser Aluminum's attorney replied that companies and unions should not have to wait until they're sued for discrimination before they can legally give some preferences to non-whites. Otherwise, he said, affirmative action would be crippled. The justices asked many questions but gave no hint as to how they will decide. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
More news when the world tonight continues.
You're alone on Wednesday night. You're watching CBS television. You're watching Dear Detective, starring Brenda Vaccaro. She's got a family to raise and a dangerous job. She's a woman, but she's also a cop. And she's not trading her badge for anybody's apron. Dear Detective, suspense with a smile. New on CBS television Wednesday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain.
Grace Cotton of Lincoln, Nebraska tells how Western Union came to the rescue.
My daughter was quite a ways from home registering for classes, and they wouldn't take the credit card she had. They wanted cash. So she called home and she said, what'll I do? Well, I just called Western Union and sent her a money order.
To send money, call Western Union toll-free and charge it to your MasterCharge or Visa account. Day or night, it's Western Union to the rescue.
I sent the money order right from home. I was very impressed.
A young Soviet merchant seaman strapped some kind of bomb to his body today and went to the American Embassy in Moscow to demand a visa to emigrate to the United States. He barricaded himself in the embassy compound for 8 hours, and then, apparently as security forces closed in, he pulled the pin. Ambassador Malcolm Toon last saw him being taken away in an ambulance. Bernard Redmont has more on the story.
American and Soviet security officials joined forces in trying to oust the Soviet citizen who said he wanted to emigrate to the United States. Toon said the man appeared to be mentally unbalanced. The ambassador said he thought it was unprecedented for American officials to give Soviet officials authority to carry out a commando-style assault on the embassy office where the seaman had barricaded himself.
The important thing, as far as I was concerned, was that American lives and property should be not unduly jeopardized. That's my consideration around here at all times.
The Soviet seaman had strapped the bomb to his waist and threatened to pull the pin if not allowed to leave the country for the U.S. Officials first negotiated with the man, then used tear gas, and finally, two popping sounds were heard, which Toon said could have been pistol shots. Then the man set off the bomb. Bernard Redmont, CBS News, Moscow.
Wall Street in a moment.
Amana 2 plus 2.5 energy-saving refrigerators were designed from the ground up to keep your electric bills down. Amana packs up to 2 inches of foam wall insulation around the refrigerator and up to 2.5 inches around the freezer where it's needed most, compared to about 1 3/4 inches used in typical refrigerators. Amana 2 plus 2.5 gives you loads of convenience features, too. Even textured steel doors that add the warm look of leather and help hide fingerprints. Amana 2 plus 2.5, the energy-saving refrigerators you can buy today and afford to operate tomorrow.
This week, in two exclusive interviews in Newsweek magazine, President Assad of Syria and King Hussein of Jordan explained their opposition to the Mideast peace treaty. Calling him a traitor to his own people, Assad says that Sadat has signed his own demise, while King Hussein calls what he was offered a big fat zero. Going from Damascus to disco, Newsweek's cover story this week takes you behind the shakes and shimmies of disco fever and explores America's urge to dance, dance, dance. Read Disco Takes Over in Newsweek. Don't go another week without it.
Stocks down, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closing around 866, down 5.11, volume almost 40 million shares. Wall Street on this world tonight.